Welcome to Live Your Full Life Now podcast. I'm glad you guys decided to join on a whole new teaching. We just finished the teachings on the subject of the Holy Spirit, basically who is the Holy Spirit and what are the benefits of the Holy Spirit. If you haven't listened to it, I highly recommend that you go back and listen because it all makes more sense once you learn about the third Trinity of God. You know, there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But anyway, I think this new teaching will interest you a lot because I think it's something that a lot of people would like to know the answer to. And the subject of this teaching is how to hear God's voice. I think a lot of us, a lot of times, we just want to know what God's will is and to go that direction versus making a decision and then it ending up being a mistake. And then we like spend our time, our resources, our energy, whatever that may be, our resources in different ways on it. And we say, I wish I had known not to make this decision and, you know, to would have gone a different route. And I think a lot of times we feel like, you know, it would be to our benefit to hear God's voice, but sometimes we're not able to hear it. So this is what this teaching is on, is how to hear God's voice. So if you chose to listen to this podcast, then more than likely you're interested in hearing God's voice. More than likely you're want to follow his voice and you trust the plans that have for your life. So there's four different categories that we can fit in. I feel like there's a group of people that will not seek God's voice, that they will not even go there. And there could be different reasons for that. One could be that they may not feel they're worthy, or maybe they haven't been taught that they can have a relationship with a loving God. Maybe they see God as a harsh judge, who was angry, who was mad, who wanted you to be perfect and you messed up and you're a sinner and he wants to have nothing to do with you. Sometimes some religions actually teach us that. So that could be one reason that people feel like they cannot talk to God to hear from him. Another reason could be they're not seeking God because they feel like, well, who am I to, you know, go before the throne of grace and ask for things or talk to him or ask for advice? You know, with everything that's like he's managing a whole world and what he's going to come down and talk to me and listen to me and answer me, like you might see yourself very insignificant in the scheme of this whole world and say, I won't even ask God. Like, you know, that's not even right for me to go before God and ask to hear his voice. So there's a group of people that will not even seek his voice, will not seek to hear from him because of the beliefs that they formed. And these beliefs, like I said, could be from their upbringing, could be from religion, could be from their environment, whatever it is, they form some belief that is making them not want to seek God's voice, which is wrong. And we'll deal with that later. Then there's another group that will seek God, you know, but they feel like they don't hear anything back. I've had my own, you know, very close family members and say, I seek God, but I don't hear him talk to me. I don't hear anything. I continually seek him and there's nothing. And we'll deal with that later too. And then there's another group that seek God and they say, oh yeah, I heard God tell me, do this and do that, you know, date this guy or, you know, move from this state to the other state or take this job or, you know, quit this job or, be friends with this person or divorce this person or whatever. They may think they heard from God, but it's actually not God speaking to them. It's actually their own thoughts and desires that they're hearing. Okay, but they're going to say, oh, God told me this. And again, we'll deal with that. Like, how do we know it's God? How do we know it's not ourselves talking? It's not our own desires and emotions telling us what to do. How do we know it's not the devil? You know, the demon speaking to us and prompting us to do something. How do we know it's God? So again, we'll explore that later too. And then there's the fourth category of people who pray and seek God's voice and wisdom, and they actually receive it. They receive it, they obey it, they walk in it, and they receive the blessing from it. So it just becomes a practice to seek God and receive wisdom from him. So some of you guys might say, why do I need to hear from God? Like, I already know what's right, what's wrong. I have a conscience that guides me. And, you know, most of the time I do what's right. So, you know, it's a no-brainer. Why do I need to ask God? Well, you're right in a way that you do have a conscience, and that conscience has been given to us by God, right? So let me go over some scripture that talks about that. Romans 2:15 says, they show that the work of the law is written in their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts accuse or even excuse them. So right there, it says that God's laws of what's right or wrong has been written in every human being's heart. So every human being knows what's right and what's wrong. They can feel it, right? And some more scripture in regards to that, Acts 24:16 says, so I strive always to keep my conscience clear before God and man. So, and again, the scripture is talking about that we do have a conscience, but it also talks about that it's our job to keep our conscience clear, because we can defile our conscience, right? We can have a conscience that kind of convicts us, and we feel guilty when we do something wrong, when we lie, or when we do something bad, it just kind of feels wrong. So that's our conscience, right? So we can defile our conscience. One more verse, or maybe two more. Romans 2:14-15 says, they show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts sometimes accusing them, and at other times even defending them. I feel like I just read that. Yeah, I did. Sorry, that was a repeat. Okay, 1 Timothy 4:1-2 says, the Spirit clearly says that in later times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose conscience have been seared as with hot iron. Now, why did I choose to use this scripture? Because it's talking about a conscience that can be seared. In other words, it's a conscience that's just is not working anymore. Let's put it that way. So for sometimes people may choose to ignore that warning of the conscience over and over to the point where the conscience will not speak anymore, right? Well, the person doesn't know the right from wrong anymore. The wrong seems right to them because the conscience has stopped working. It's kind of like, you know, if you're in your car and you put an address in your GPS and the GPS starts talking to you, saying take a left on the street and right on that street, and then you keep not listening and taking the wrong turn, and then the GPS will say recalculating and will come up now with a new plan for you to get you to your destination. And let's say again you don't listen and you go a different route than what the GPS says. So you keep doing that after a few times, I'm not sure how many times, but eventually the GPS stops talking because you're not following what it's saying. And that's the same with our conscience. So that's when it says that some people's conscience has been seared as with a hot iron, which means it's not working anymore, right? Because they continually ignored the warning, it continually ignored the voice of the conscience of what's wrong. And they went the other way to the point where now they can't recognize what's right and what's wrong. They actually think what's wrong is good and it's right. So they're deceived, right? So that's in 1 Timothy 4:1-2. So for those people who say, I don't really need to hear from God, I have a conscience, your conscience can be defiled. Your conscience can be seared where it's not working anymore. So hopefully not, but there are some people who have gone that route. So that's why we need to hear the voice of God. And now the next question is, how do we keep our conscience clear? The truth is, do we keep our conscience clear by knowing and obeying the word of God? By, like I've said this many times, the Bible is a book of manual for life. By knowing it, well, first of all, by seeking to learn it and know it, right? Once you know it, knowing it is not enough, but actually putting what you learn into action, that's what's going to produce results. So by knowing it and obeying it, then you will know even more of what's wrong and what you should not do, right? Excuse me. And the word of God, you know what it does? It renews our mind. It kind of cleanses our mind of all the junk that the world tries to put in. And then it's continually softens our heart toward God, right? Like things that we were like harsh toward and angry or whatever, all of a sudden we have a soft heart to it. Like God gives us his compassion, his way of looking at things, his understanding. So then we look at things differently after we spend time with the Word of God and with him. So some practical ways as to how do I hear, like I want to practice learning how to hear God's voice, right? So for those of you who are asking, first of all, the first most important thing is we have to have a heart that truly, truly wants to seek God, is interested in knowing about God, learning about him, learning about his will, his desire, his creations, about why did he create you? Like you have this just yearning and desire to get to know him, right? So the first thing is you have to have a willing heart. The second thing is you have to put time aside to spend time with him. It's called quiet time in the Christian language. So that quiet time, I believe, in my opinion, and I think a lot of Christians would agree with me, the best time is early in the morning when you wake up. The first thing that you do. It's kind of like, you know, when they say if you're going to work out, do it the first thing in the morning, early in the morning, just get it out of the way. And not only that, but it benefits you, right? It benefits your body, your soul, your decisions for that day. So the best thing is to give God the tithe of your day. The best portion of your day is when you wake up. Your mind is fresh. You haven't put anything in it. You haven't watched anything. You haven't heard anything. So to give God that part of your day, that means you're seeking him, right? You're giving him the best part of your day. But sometimes it's not possible. Sometimes people are doing midday or before they go to bed. That's fine. As long as you have that quiet time where you put some time aside to spend time with God. And you might say, you know what? I'm just so busy. I don't have time for it. But you know what? Let me tell you this. You cannot afford not to have quiet time with God because without him, we end up making so many mistakes. We make our own decisions or we listen to what's in the world or friends and family or whatever. And then we end up making a mistake. And then what? And then you've wasted months and years and finances and energy and relationships. And then you're like, ah, I wish I had known not to go this way. Well, if you spent daily time in the Word of God and with God, he would warn you. You know, you will seek his wisdom and he will tell you, don't go that route. Don't give in to that. Don't believe that. Don't take that action. So it is so totally worth it because he will guide your life. He will make your life easier, basically. So spend that quiet time with him every morning where it's just you and him, nobody else. Like find a place away from everything. All the noises, turn no TV, no phone, put your phone away, turn it off, tell your family, please don't disturb me. Hopefully, they're asleep when you wake up and have that quiet time, just you and the Lord. Even if you start with 5 minutes a day, that's fine. And then gradually increase it to like 10 minutes, 15 minutes a day. You can do it. So, yeah, just remember to shut everything off where it's you. Your Bible, a pen and a paper. That's how I do it. And a cup of coffee. Gotta have your coffee, right? If you're a coffee drinker. And then some people suggest put on some worship music and just to calm your spirit. You know, the Bible says come into his presence with thanksgiving and praise. And this could be you're just offering him thanksgiving. Think of all the good things he's done in your life, or just play worship music and just let it just calm your spirit and just imagine yourself going before the creator of the world, who's your father, right? Who's your heavenly father. So then the next thing you want to do, obviously there's things in your life and your heart that are, you know, burdensome to you and things that you don't know what to do or how to solve your problems. So then tell God about your problems. Just tell him, I really don't know what to do in this situation. I really don't know how to handle this. What is my part in doing this? And just cast your care on him. You know, 1 Peter 5, 6 through 7 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Cast all your anxiety on him. So anything that bothers you, anything that's like a heavy in your heart, anything you feel like I need help with, I need a solution, I don't know what to do. give it to him. You know, take it from your, I learned this very early on of my walk with God. The pastor said, put everything from your worry list, transfer it to your prayer list, and then let it go. Give it to God. And then the next thing would be ask for his wisdom to guide you. You know, James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously and without finding fault. So in other words, the Bible is saying God will give you wisdom if you ask him. And he's not going to say, well, why should I give you wisdom? Did you do what I asked you? Did you forget yesterday you messed up? Did you forget to, you know, go to church this week or whatever? He's saying he's going to give it to you without finding any fault with you, right? So ask him for wisdom. And then once again, you know, his wisdom, the main foundation part of wisdom comes through the word of God. So it's important while you are having your quiet time with God, right? First you've worshiped him and then you've told him about what's in your heart. And now the next thing is to read his word, right? Because God speaks to us. The main way is through his word. It's through his word that he gives us, you know, he directs our thoughts and actions and feelings. So another promise from God is Jeremiah 33:3 that says, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. How amazing is this verse? He's saying, I want to tell you things that you haven't even thought about, right? So that's a great promise from God. And another thing that you guys have to just get in the practice of doing is, you know, we don't go to God and, like, I used to do it all the time. You just pray and ask him what's going on. You know, you tell him what's going on in your life, this and that, and please do this, please do that, please give me an answer, and okay, I'm done. Thank you, bye. You know, we have to, like, once you give him your burdens, you ask for his wisdom, and you read his word, you have to be still and just sit quiet and just calm your spirit, calm your soul. And, you know, the Bible says, be still and know that I'm God in Psalm 46:10. So God wants you to give him a chance to talk to you, basically. Don't just do all the talking and then get up and leave. Say, whoops, my time is up. Got to get ready for work or got to get ready with the kids or go to school or whatever. Just have some time, whether if it's 2 seconds or minutes, to just sit quietly and clear your mind. Don't let anything enter your mind. Control your thoughts and say, it's time for God. I'm going to give this time to God that if he wants to speak to me, I can hear. So give him some time to speak to you back, basically. And again, reading your Bible, you know, Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the divisions of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of heart. So the word of God, you guys, is different than any other word in the world that we read. The word of God has life. You know, John, beginning of the chapter of John, it says the word was God, the word was with God, the word became flesh. So it's basically equating Jesus with the word. They're saying they're the same. So when you read the words, something happens in you and something happens in the spiritual realm. So don't take it lightly. That's why, like, you could have a thought towards something, and you may read Proverbs that day. The Proverbs, I try to read the Proverbs for that day each day. There's 31 Proverbs, one for each day, except for the months that are not 31 days. But it gives you so much wisdom and discernment. It just, like, judges your heart, and you feel like, oh, that was wrong. Like, I'm not going to do it again, or I'm going to do this way. So just remember that the word of God is different than any other words that you read because it is alive. And then once you read this scripture, like I said, if you're just new at it, it could be just a few minutes. You can just take a paragraph. It doesn't have to be, oh, I'm going to read the Bible in 1 year. No, you're not there yet. That will take you a while. And honestly, I still cannot read the whole Bible in 1 year because I like to, like, take a paragraph and really meditate on it and understand it and see how it applies in my life. Which it takes me to the next point is ask God what you just read, how does this apply in your life, right? Let him speak to you and tell you. And you may say, well, I still don't hear anything. Well, you know what? Sometimes you just have to keep doing it and it will happen. You have to get used to being in the presence of God, You have to get used to being quiet, letting him talk to you. Sometimes he'll bring a word, and you have to look up that word in Bible. Sometimes he'll bring a scripture. Sometimes he'll show you a picture. He just speaks in different ways. But like I said, the foundational way is through his word. So the next thing that I want to share with you guys is some people might say, you know what? That's all great. I still don't hear God speaking to me. I did everything you said. I'm still pretty quiet. And so my question for you is, are you seeking God with all your heart? My next question for you is, have you surrendered your heart to him? And my next question for you is, have you made him the Lord over your life? Or do you still feel like you're the God of your life? You get to decide what's good for you, what's not, and what to do in your life regarding all your decisions. Because if that's the case, then you're not really seeking after God. You just still feel like you know better than him or what's good for you. You forget that he's your creator, that he had you in mind before the creation of the world. He loved you before even he created you, and he had all these wonderful plans for you. If you haven't learned that, once you get in the Word of God, you will learn how precious you are to him. You're his child, and he loves you, and he wants to do amazing things in your life. But you have to trust, you have to get to know him first, right? And then you will trust him as you do life with him, as you experience him. So the next thing I want to say is, John 8, 4 through 7 says, well, before I go there, if you feel like, again, you don't hear God and you're doing everything that I just mentioned, the most important question is, have you received the gift of salvation where all your sins can be forgiven by God by putting your faith and your trust in his son dying for you on the cross and paying the price of sin for you and then being raised from the dead? Do you truly believe that and accept it? Is it just the head knowledge? Because it has to become a heart acceptance, okay? Not just the story you believe and say, yes, I've done it. I've said the salvation prayer. I am a Christian. But really, you guys should see the movie Left Behind. I think it's just coming out, actually. I think it came out yesterday. And it's about even pastors who were just playing church. Everything was head knowledge, nothing was heart knowledge, and they were the ones who were left behind when Jesus came back for the believers. So this is really serious, you guys. A lot of people say we are in the end times because the signs are there, right? You can just look around, just turn on your TV. So if that's you, if you really feel like you haven't completely surrendered your life to Christ, then I'll give you a chance to say the salvation prayer after me. But just remember, God promises for the ones who have received the gift of salvation, the ones who are now a new creation. The Bible calls them born again believers because now they have a new spirit in them, right? Born with the Holy Spirit. They have received the Holy Spirit and are saved from God's wrath. Yes, God is a wonderful, loving God, full of love, but he also, there's a side to him. He has wrath that's coming for the ones who don't want to accept the gift of salvation. They've heard it and they're like, not for me, thank you. I don't believe there's anything after we die. Well, it's going to be too late for you to find out. Once you're dead, your spirit is eternal, will live forever. So think about that. This life is very temporary for all of us, right? Regardless who you are, what you do, what kind of titles you have, how much wealth you have, no matter what, all of that aside, we will all shed this physical body. It will turn to dust, but our spirit will live on forever. And the wrath of God is coming for the ones who continue to live in sin and did not receive the gifts of salvation. So I want to read you guys this verse. It says, John 8:47, whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you don't belong to God. So for people that are wicked and evil and choose not to receive the gift of salvation, choose not to believe, can they hear God? According to this scripture, No, I believe they still have their conscience, but even that conscience could be seared, right? But it says those who have received the gift of salvation, who belong to God, right? The children who, the people who have received the gift of salvation become the children of God. That's what the Bible says. John 10:27, Jesus said, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." In other words, believers, when they hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, they recognize this is God telling me to do this. I know. They're not deceived. John 10:5 says, "But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." In other words, people that are born again believers, they spend time with God, they spend time in his word. If the devil comes, and the Bible does say the devil, the evil spirits will come and masquerade themselves as the angel of light. Like, people will go to fortune tellers or to these people that like, they seem so nice. They just know my future. They just know what to tell me. But people that are true believers, they will not be deceived. They will feel like this is off. This is wrong. This just doesn't feel good. I'm not going there. I'm not going to be part of that. But if you're not, you could easily be deceived. You might think you've seen an angel, but it's really a demon masquerading as an angel of light. That's what the Bible says. But if you're spending time with God and you have given your life to him, he will give you discernment and wisdom. Okay, John 14:26 says, "But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." So in other words, Jesus said when he was leaving, he was resurrected after 3 days, 500 people saw him, and then after 40 days he was taken back to heaven with a lot of witnesses. But this is one of the last things that he said. He said, "I have to go so I can send the Holy Spirit," because Holy Spirit can be with every single person, but Jesus was in a physical body. He could only be at one place at one time, right? So he said, "This Holy Spirit that I'm sending to you, he will be your helper and he will teach you all things and he will bring into remembrance the things that I have said to you." In other words, he will remind you of the word that you have learned, the scripture, and he will also help you. So another way that God speaks to us directly, well, remember, God is a spirit, right? He's a spirit and we have a spirit. So he talks to our spirit, and now that we are born again Christians, he speaks to our spirit, and our spirit, the Holy Spirit, tells us, gives us discernment, right? It's really interesting when you're close with God, you just get these feelings all of a sudden to pray for this person. I've been waking up from my sleep sometimes, get up and pray for this person, and it's like it doesn't make sense to me, but I do it because I know it's the Holy Spirit telling me something is wrong with this person. Maybe they're experiencing pain. Maybe they're in an accident. Maybe something bad is about to happen to them. And by you praying them, you're interceding for them, right? Or the Holy Spirit will, if you're, let's say, planning to go on a vacation or somewhere, all of a sudden he will tell you, you need to not go on this trip or cancel this or do this. And you feel like, yeah, I really want to go. But you have to be obedient to the voice of the Holy Spirit, because he will protect you and he will guide you and he will help you help other people, basically. So I hope this teaching has helped you to learn that God wants to speak to you if you're not already hearing his voice. He wants to help you. He wants to show you the right way of doing things. He wants to protect you. You just have to know his word and obey him, not just hear it, but put it into practice. But all that aside, that's not going to happen unless you guys have made him the Lord of your life, which I believe by now most of you guys have. But again, just check with your soul if this is a head knowledge, if just this is just a story I believe, or do I truly believe that? And did I feel a change when I did it with all my heart? Did I feel like that God gave me the Holy Spirit? And now I feel like I'm a different person. So if you haven't, please repeat after me the salvation prayer. And here we go. So just say, "Dear Lord, thank you for loving me enough to send your son to die for my sins on the cross. I know that I need you. I believe that you are my God and my maker and my father. I believe that you sent your son, your only one begotten son, to pay the price of the sin instead of me. I accept this gift of salvation. I believe that Jesus was crucified on the cross instead of me, and he was raised from the dead after 3 days. Your word says, if I believe in my heart and say it with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and that you raised him from the dead after 3 days, I will be saved. I receive this gift of salvation. Please help me to live for you from this day on, to honor you and to serve you. I say this in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you truly said that with all your heart, then you received the gift of salvation, and God gave a deposit of the Holy Spirit in you. And just follow just the step guidelines that we went over as to how to hear God's voice. And honestly, a lot of things that you feel like they're impossible, the doors are closed, missed the boat, anything that you feel like is impossible, give your heart to God, and He will open doors that are not even there. He will provide opportunities that you could never even think of. He could change people that you thought they could never be changed. The Bible says all things are possible with God, all things. And the Bible says anything is possible for those who believe. So this life of faith is an exciting life. It's not an easy life because you have to deal with a lot of unknowns. And you just walk by faith and you trust God. You kind of have to let go of the control that you've been having for a long time because you've been trying to take care of yourself. And now you're saying, I trust you to take care of me. And trust me, he created you to love you and to take care of you and to shower you with his blessings. So I hope this teaching has blessed you. If you want on your own, do some more research on how to hear God's voice. There's tons of information out there that you can research and learn. And I believe you'll be blessed by learning more and also inviting God to be part of your life every day and just putting that time aside every day to spend time with him. So hopefully it blessed you. And until the next teaching, God be with you and God bless you.